Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray. We're going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You still have a minute or two if you'd like to just send out a text or a tweet or an email, somebody you love, say, hey, why don't you join us? We're going to pray. And this is really a very powerful time of prayer where we all come together. I do want to pray for Dr. Bob Tabali. I won't disclose what he revealed to me. But this is a man who's involved in I think, a very noble cause. He's been working on a shrine dedicated to mothers who've lost their children through miscarriage and through abortion. And ever since he began this endeavor, his medical practice, his health, everything has come under attack. And I just told him that we would pray for him. And he needs our prayers today. He's a good man. He's a generous man, very selfless. And he's got a very big heart. And I'll tell you, I don't know how he deals with it. I'll get texts from him occasionally, you know, in the middle of the day or later at night. And he's got a great wit, but he'll say, hey, I need prayer for this, or you can't believe what's happening now. And I really can't believe what's going on half the time. It is, it's amazing. And I told him, and this goes for you too, if you're going through a difficult time, if it seems like the storm isn't ending, if you don't see light at the end of your tunnel, I told him, St. Catherine of Siena, she once said that nothing great is ever achieved without enduring much. So if you're going through a battle now, you're trying to get your ministry off the ground, you're in the fight for life, you're trying to fight against some of this agenda that's indoctrinating our kids, if you're working on your marriage, nothing great is ever achieved without enduring much at St. Catherine of Siena. And of course, St. Faustina, who we'll turn to for her powerful intercession. She said something that I love. It's one of my favorite quotes from the diary where she says, I know well that the greater and the more beautiful the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it. The more beautiful, the greater the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it. And, you know, this guy, Dr. Tabali, is going through an unbelievable series of attacks because I really believe that the work he's doing is great. I think it's going to be powerful. I think it's going to be beautiful. I think it's going to be a source of healing. And I'd ask you for prayers for him today. I really would. I know he needs them, and that's what we're here for, right? You're my brother. You're my sister. We pray for each other, and that's the beauty of this time of the chaplet. I love being able to pray with you and for you and ask you for prayer when I did, and I'm grateful for your prayers. I'll share with you very quickly here just an email or two that has come in. And some answered prayers. I'm always so grateful when people write and they share how God has worked in their lives. So grateful for that. But before I do that, let me invite Beth into the conversation. She'll be praying with us. Beth, always great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for as we start?
I will be on the road this weekend traveling for a wedding, to celebrate a wedding. So I'm just would like to pray for Betsy and Ryan for blessings on their marriage, and then just for safe travels to and from as well.
All right. Sounds great. We will lift them up for sure. I want to share this email that had come in. Just want to update you on the progress of my grandson, a newborn baby. I requested prayers of the Divine Mercy Chaplet for him. He had a blood clot. And doctors were very concerned about the vitality of the leg. There was talk of it having to be amputated. And the doctor had scheduled the surgery actually to do it. And we called into the chaplet and asked for prayers and got back to us. And the doctor said, you know what? I'm not going to do it after all. Since the change of his heart and his prognosis, his leg, his calf, and the foot, to the amazement of doctors, have regained circulation. You know, part of the foot was going to be lost on its own, and now God has healed this and spared this child from amputation. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who has prayed. You always say the doctors are amazed and that God is bigger than any problem. Thank you for the inspiration. Please thank everyone who prays with you daily for their prayers. Miracles happen, I'm telling you. I love it. I want to pray for this situation. It's a little bit similar. This person says, you pray for my adult son who seriously broke his leg this past weekend, is scheduled for surgery. His blood pressure is high. He has to be cleared for surgery. My son is unable to have the surgery. He'll never be able to walk again. So I just want to say thank you to our Relevant Radio family and the Divine Mercy Chapel for the prayers that will be offered. I am very grateful. Diane, we're praying for you and especially for your son. I have a friend who's going in for a mastectomy as well, and I want to pray for her. She's a victim soul, this lady, and I ask that God will be merciful to her. And she offers all of her suffering up. Final intention here, my prayer intentions for my granddaughter, 16, to be returned to her dad. She was mysteriously taken by her mother. There's been no contact of any kind between the daughter or her mother. We need an answer prayer from our merciful father. Thank you for these prayers. You got it. Maggie will be on the phones today, too. She's going to be, on the Twitter account, and she'll take some of your Twitter intentions, and we'll be sure to pray for you, too. But let's begin now, as we do every day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today from Maria. She's listening in Los Angeles. Maria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My prayer request is for a neighbor, a friend, her two her great niece and her great nephew. They're missing. I don't know the details. I saw it on my Facebook, and I was calling in for prayers for her, her great niece and great nephew, that they will be found immediately, and that they are safe. And I pray for God's protection for them, and a quick resolution that they are found soon.
Amen to that. Maria, thank you for calling for that very important intention.
Thank you, Drew.
God bless you. I'll pray for you, too. I know you didn't ask for anything, but the Lord knows your heart. He knows all of your intentions. And Lord, I just bring you this intercessor. Bless her. But we do pray for the situation. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way you answer these prayers. We have seen reports over and over again of people with silver alerts, amber alerts, people who've been kidnapped, people who've gone missing. Miraculous return. People lost in the wilderness for days, found safely and returned. So once again, I intercede on behalf of her friend's great niece and great nephew that no nefarious ends have come to these children and that they be safely and promptly returned. And again, Heavenly Father, just for the glory of your mercy, the glory of your name, and the power of the promises associated with this chapel, I bring you this intention. I pray for all those who are lost in compromising situations like this, abusive relationships, those who can't get out of their circumstance. And I want to pray for those who have lost their way from you too. On a spiritual plane, Lord, I come to you and I bring you those who've grown cold and have separated themselves from your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Carmen, praying with us in California.
Yes.
Welcome. Hi.
Precious Jew, please pray for me.
Oh, what's going on? What's going on, Carmen?
I had a stroke.
Oh, no.
But I'm getting better. But I want you to pray for me.
Oh.
That I get better. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Carmen. Look, I want you to be at peace, okay? I want you to know a couple things here. First of all, I'll be praying for you, not just now. I'll be praying for you in the days ahead as you make this recovery. And I really want you to trust God and his healing touch and his embrace, okay? You have your whole spiritual family here. You have your whole spiritual family, too, praying for you, Carmen. So, look, we want to pray for you. We're going to pray for complete and total and prompt recovery. And I know you're so distraught right now. You're so filled with anxiety. And I know you have an understandable reason to be filled with fear. But I want you just to remember what the Lord told Faustina. He said, life on earth is a struggle. You know, but fear not, because you are not alone. I know you're in a great struggle right now, perhaps one of the greatest of your life, but you are not alone. The Lord told Faustina that he is always supporting you. He is with you right now, Carmen. So lean on him. He says, lean on me as you struggle. And fear nothing. Okay, fear nothing. Because that vessel of trust draws down to God's greatness, his mercy, his healing, his blessing. Lord, I pray for this woman so distraught, suffering stroke. I pray for anyone right now who is undergoing these difficult times of trial with health, be it stroke or heart, or whether it be ambulatory problems, memory, speech. I just give you the sick and those impossible situations. I give you the elderly. I give you the vulnerable. I bring them to the foot of the cross, Heavenly Father. And I just ask for your mercy. I ask for healing. I ask above all for peace to come to their hearts as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Christine listening in Charlottesville, let me bring Maggie on. Maggie, of course, monitors the Twitter feed. I know many of you post your intentions there. You can do that. It's at Drew Mariani Show. I'd love to have you do that. And you can always email me, drew@relevantradio.com. We're praying for you. We're reading these. Hopefully it'll make it to air. And Maggie, what are people asking us to pray for now?
We got a special intention earlier today. Joan said, please pray for Jason Fry of Vermont. He's been out of jail. He got out on the anniversary of his father's death, and then was kind of in and out of halfway houses and is currently missing. He has problems with addiction. So let's please pray for him to be found and to seek the right help. Mary's praying for her son, Thomas. He had a CT scan today, praying that his tumor is gone. She said, in June, we prayed the chaplet and his tumor shrunk by 50%. So that's pretty great. Yeah, let's pray for them. Stella is asking for prayers for her daughter and I. She said that we're being evicted and we have nowhere to go right now. Teresa's asking for prayers for her job search, that God leads her to whatever he wants of her and that she can do his will. And Virginia is asking for prayers that her marriage finds its way back to a full and lovingly connected communion. She says, I continue to pray for a resolution to feeling separated from the fullness of marriage, for myself and for anyone else who finds themselves living together but feeling apart.
Yeah. Such powerful and heavy intentions there. Lord, I want to pray for marriages, those that are on the rocks, troubled, broken. I ask for healing. I ask for the strengthening of the bond of those in marriage, that grace, that sacrament may manifest, especially for those who are married now, that their love may grow stronger, they may rise above any obstacle that may face them. I do want to pray for the homeless, those who suffer addiction, those who have been incarcerated or are incarcerated right now, that they may find new beginnings and they may find healing, and for their family as well, and for all those intentions that have just been voiced. And I bring Christine into this decade as well. Christine, thank you for listening in Virginia. Thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm asking for prayers for my daughter, Kathleen. She was just diagnosed with aggressive Crohn's disease, and she requires surgery on November 13th. The doctors wanted to do it sooner, but apparently there are no nurses. They've had a lot of problems due to the mandate of the vaccine. So she was in the ER and admitted, but we were hoping for an earlier date. But for now, it's November 13th. And just for healing of her Crohn's disease, that she won't have to be on a biologic.
Amen to that. All right, we'll pray for her. I have a colleague I work with that suffers from that, and I know what that can do to the body. So we'll pray right now. We'll lift this up. Lord, I give you Christine, all of her intentions, and her daughter in particular having surgery. But I do ask for the divine touch. I hold out a big cup. I ask for miracles. So surgeries can be averted. Tumors can shrink. Debilitating diseases can be healed and vanquished. Lord, I trust in you. I believe in the promise of this prayer, and I thank you for all those who are praying with me now, for how you hear these prayers. And I humbly pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful
passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful
passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful
passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful
have
passion,
mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jim, listening to us in California. Good afternoon, Jim.
Yeah, Drew, my grandson had a horrific car accident yesterday. It smashed every bone in his face, he needs lots of prayer. So calling to for a miracle.
Let's pray for it, Jim. I'm with you, and I'm so sorry to hear that. It's a fear that every parent and grandparent has is your children or your grandchildren get into those cars. And Lord, I pray for divine protection over all those we love. Send angels to guard, to guide. But I do give you Jim. I give you his son. I give you his grandson in particular, who's in this particular accident. Jim, I had a cousin who suffered the same thing, was not wearing a seatbelt, I believe. This happened years ago, and her face was completely injured in the accident, bones broken, her whole body, but she's fine today, and we're going to pray for the same thing for your grandson. Lord, I pray for complete and total healing. We thank you for reconstruction. We thank you for the medical community and the gift of medicine, and if it's through natural means, Lord, then we thank you for that. Restore this young man to complete health and to vitality, and be the hands of those surgeons. I pray for all those facing very difficult surgeries and facing a compromised future due to accident or tragedy. And I just ask for their healing, Lord. I ask for many miracles again. So I give you this intention. All those who now pray with me as we turn to you once again, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And before I forget, just a quick reminder. Tomorrow, Mass is going to be offered for you. Anybody who prays a chaplet with me here during the day, and anybody who has become a Divine Mercy intercessor, who's committed to prayer for this spiritual family of ours, four times a year, I have Mass offered at the Nativity of, at the Chapel of the Nativity here at Relevant Radio. So tomorrow, noon Central Time, Mass is offered for your intentions. So we're going to be praying for all these very heavy, heavy intentions here. And we'll ask God for his mercy. We'll also pray in thanksgiving for the many ways he's working. Marie in Philadelphia, thank you for calling in. Good afternoon.
Hi. I would like to offer myself up because my brother and sister-in-law do not get along with me because I am poor and they just look down at me. I just want the relationships to get better. For all relationships out there, for anybody that has siblings that look down on each other, it's heartbreaking and it's making me sick. Wow. It's making me sick.
I'm so sorry. Marie, that's such a deep wound. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's a tough thing when family turns on family. There's nothing like it. Well, look, we're here for you, all right? I'm glad you got through today. Prayer changes things. You know, I think of Psalm 27, verse 3, where it says, though an army encamp against me, my heart does not fear. Though war be waged against me, even then do I trust. So trust right now with me in the power of prayer to bring about conversion of the heart of your family members. And Lord, I give you Marie. She's so torn up over this. I pray where there is division, especially in the family. Father against son, mother against daughter, in-laws, siblings. I pray for division amongst friends, amongst co-workers, amongst neighbors. And Lord, I just pray for healing, for unity. I know that's what you want. And this is part of your will. You said anything we ask in virtue of your passion through this prayer would be granted if it was according to your will. And I know you don't want division. That's the signature of the evil one. You want healing and you want unity and you want restoration. So I trust in your mercy. So I'm going to pray with that confidence that whatever's happening here, whatever divisive spirit, whatever demonic force might be at play, wherever there's division or misunderstanding, that it may be cleared. And I give to you Nancy in Minnesota, a friend of hers committed suicide, and Martha, her son looking for work, consistent with his values. For Kathy in Michigan, who's lost her car keys and she needs transportation. I pray for that right now, that those keys show up as a result of these prayers. For a friend who just turned 90, Paul is praying for, admitted in the hospital with COVID, and we know how life-threatening that can be. For those facing surgery and headaches, Lord, for those with COVID, for the healing of Father Glenn, who had two strokes. I lift up Father Jim Nadeau, who is having some heart issues as well. And I lift up all those who are on hold, all those who've written, all those united to me, with me in prayer. We take them to the foot of your cross with confidence, with complete faith and trust in you, Heavenly Father, in your mercy. I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Should probably call upon St. Callistus today. He was a pope and a martyr. I ask him also to pray for us. Know that I am praying with you. And before you go, I want to share with you, coming up, something that Faustina was told about confession. Also, Padre Pio, who was one of the great stigmatists, right? The stigmatics, if you will. He bore the wounds of Christ. Man, there's an amazing story I heard about him.
Great job, Bess. You're off now. I turned your mic off.
Okay, thanks.
There's a brand new documentary out, too, on the power of this sacrament, the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It's called The Miracle Box. There was a woman I had on the air here who was actually miraculously healed because she's been to confession. And maybe you've not been to confession in a long time. Sometimes we need to remove the sin for that channel of God's healing grace to flow. We'll talk about that and so much more coming up, so stay with me. That straight ahead.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
This is where God wins his children back. You know, confession is a place of victory. Confession is a place of victory, and I don't care whether this is a person's first time they've ever confessed this particular sin or their 12,001st times they've confessed this particular sin. Every time they go to confession, it is a win for Jesus. And as a priest, I get to sit there and I get to be a part of, I get to watch, I get to see God winning his children back every single day.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's so good to be here with you today. Of course, a lot of truth in what you just heard there. Yeah, that was Father Mike Schmitz, some thoughts about the sacrament of confession. I want to talk to you just a little bit about this. You know, I know so many people who hate confession. They just don't go. You know, I have some, I know some family members, you know, who they've not been there in a long time. And I'm thinking, why would you not go? I want to share with you coming up an amazing story, a couple amazing stories of Padre Pio, stories of a woman who was miraculously healed after she went to confession. We're going to speak to a Catholic priest who just did a documentary coming up. But I was thinking about this because as we pray the chaplet, I know sometimes situations might seem intractable, right? You pray, you're not getting, you know, just not getting any results. And I often think, you know, well, are there other things at play here? And I'm just saying this to you. If you have division in your family, if there is addiction, if there is, illness, And I'm not saying these are all caused by the evil one, but I'm just saying that sometimes as we turn to God for healing, maybe there are other forces at work. There was a nun who once said to a family that traveled the world to all the Marian apparition sites, trying to get their daughter healed, who was dying of this debilitating disease. And the nun turned to them and said, but have you tried fasting? Have you tried prayer and fasting? Because with prayer and fasting, miracles happen. Maybe you should fast. That might be the thing. Maybe you should have the house blessed. Maybe you should get rid of the occult objects. You know, maybe there's behavior in the home that is keeping this, you know, this division or this dark spirit or this addictive behavior present. And maybe something that is so often overlooked and never talked about. Maybe you need to go to confession. I mean, maybe you're hearing me today for a reason. When was the last time you went and really confessed your sins, made a good confession? I think when you do that sometimes, the channels of grace open. And what ends up happening, those log jams that prevent that healing from taking place are removed. My wife and I bought a home, one of our first homes, years ago, right? And us and maybe two of our five kids at the time. And I just remember that the place it had hard water, right? And we didn't have the money to get a water softener system put into this place, right? And the water softener can take a lot of this stuff out. So what ended up happening was our faucets all started to get clogged. Our shower heads got clogged. The toilet began to turn orange or red or whatever the color was. The pipes began to get clogged up. And, I put off getting that softener, that water treatment system, because, I didn't want to do it, didn't have the money. But it made me think about sin. Isn't that the way sin works? Isn't that how the arteries get clogged, how the pipes of life get clogged? We allow that spiritual dirt, that grit, to build up. When you don't go to confession, it just builds atop one after the other, to that opening where that channel of grace could flow, gets restricted, gets narrowed, maybe even blocked. So maybe you're looking for a healing today. You're going to hear the story of a woman named Daphne Gutierrez, who actually was miraculously cured. She was healed. I'm not going to tell you of what yet, but it took place in the confessional. Actually, she was going blind. Lost her sight. I think she might have been. It's an amazing story. I will share it coming up, but it really made me think. It made me think. Like, I don't want to scare people. I don't want to say, you have this problem because you're living in sin. But it does make me think that we underestimate the power of confession, because there are hidden powers in this sacrament. There's a hidden power that you blindly ignore. How often do you contemplate how powerful that sacrament is at ridding truly the great inhibitor of holiness, and that's pride. And look, we all succumb to it. We all fall to it. I need to work on my own virtue and my own holiness. One of the greatest tools we have in our toolbox, one of the greatest weapons we have in our arsenal, is confession. An exorcist in Rome once wrote that confession is as powerful against the enemy as a formal exorcism. I mean, we look at Hollywood and we say, an exorcism. My gosh, a priest come in, they're fasting, they're saying these prayers. One sacramental confession is worth more than 10,000 exorcisms. He says, when we purge darkness, when you purge that darkness, you purge demons. When you purge the demonic, you open the way. You set the way to healing. Think about that from a scriptural perspective for just a second, right? Isn't that what Christ showed us, right? Didn't Christ show how many ailments? Just think about the scriptures for a second. How many ailments were healed after Christ first cast out a demon, right? He had to cast out the darkness, the demonic, and then the person received their sight or their ability to talk or to heal. I think you opt to confess as opposed to being forced or tortured to confess, right? You go in willingly, and that's the difference. Parents, I know you might say, I'm going to make my kids go to confession. Well, it's good that, you encourage them to get there, but, you can't twist the arm of your spouse to go. You got to show them the beauty and the power of it. I really believe it's through the radiance, the fire of Jesus, that your sins are burned away. And that's, the Lord purifies. He does. And that happens with confession. Confession prepares the way for the Eucharist. And that breaks the bonds of Satan. I'm telling you, there's a power in it. St. Faustina, let me share with you what she said, okay? And I'd like to hear your story, too. Maybe you've been away from the sacrament for a long time. What brought you back? Okay, what brought you back to the sacrament? Did you find healing in the sacrament of reconciliation? Did it give you clarity on the problems that you were facing? What was that encounter like? Did you meet Jesus Christ in the sacrament of reconciliation? Did you meet him there? I'll tell you what, as I said, there are hidden powers in the sacrament of reconciliation. But Christ revealed so much more. He revealed to St. Faustina really what transpires in this. And I got a beautiful letter recently from a person who read my book. And in writing this book, my greatest challenge was keeping it to 140 pages. It's what the network said, hey, look, because of printing, we're going to be giving this away. We need to restrict the amount of pages. But one of the things I did not want to leave out was what the Lord told St. Faustina about both the Eucharist and about the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And in diary entry 1487, Jesus spoke to Faustina and he told her, he says, tell me everything that's on your heart. Reveal to me all the wounds of your heart, he said, and I will heal them. Have you been betrayed? Have you been abused? Have you been victimized? Have you been hurt in some way? Have you been wounded by somebody else's sinful behavior? Then the Lord's speaking to you. He's saying, reveal all the wounds of your heart. I will heal them. That's what happens in the sacrament. You meet the Lord. He will heal you. He told Faustina that it's here that the greatest miracles take place and that they are incessantly they're repeated. He says, have souls avail themselves. Have them avail themselves of this great miracle. He says, you don't have to go on pilgrimage. You don't have to carry out some external ceremony. He says, just come to the feet of my representative. That's the priest, right? Reveal to the priest your misery. And the Lord said, then the miracle of divine mercy will be fully demonstrated. And one of my favorite revelations when it comes to the sacrament, something that really inspires me, he says, we're souls like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, there would be no hope of restoration and everything would already be lost. It would not be so with God. Because the miracle of divine mercy restores the soul in full. Now, you might have committed that abortion. You might have been unfaithful to your spouse. You might have stolen. You might have robbed. You might have injured somebody. You might have committed some horrible crime. You might have done something that you are terribly ashamed of. Your soul might be like that decaying corpse right now. And from a human perspective, yeah, no hope. No hope of restoration. But with God, that's not the case. I'm encouraging you today, the Lord's speaking to you, go to the foot of his representative, the priest, where the miracle divine mercy will restore you in full. It'll restore you in full. You know, the Lord said to St. Faustina, he says, every time you go to confession, he says, just immerse yourself in my mercy. Do it with trust. And he says, I will pour a bounty of grace upon your soul. Now, here's the thing I love. Right? We go to the confession and you're probably like, well, I don't really want to confess my sins to Father Jim. He knows me. Or I don't really want to go to the confessional. I could never confess this. And why don't I just confess it to God myself? You know, I'll just say, Lord, I'm sorry. And this is what the Lord told St. Faustina. This is why it's so important. I want you to do this tomorrow or on Saturday, whenever you get to confession. And I want you to know this, okay? The Lord told Faustina, when you approach confession, know this. I myself am waiting there for you. I'm only hidden by the priest, but I act in your soul. I myself act in your soul. I love that. You know why I love that? Because it's so true. When you go to confession, you're not talking to Father Jim, to Father Bob, to Father Tom, to whoever it is that you're in there with. You are encountering Jesus Christ himself. When you approach that confessional, he says, know that I myself am waiting for you. I am only hidden there by the priest. I myself will act in your soul. It's here that your misery will meet the mercy of God. The Lord said, it's here, from the font of this mercy that souls should draw grace. And he wants you to go there with trust. You have to trust that God's going to forgive you. He says, if your trust is great, there will be no limit to my generosity. He says, I pour torrents of grace on humble souls. It's here that the greatest miracles take place. We've got to take a break. When we come back, I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to hear about your own encounter. And I want to share with you, too, a story when we come back. I'm going to share with you a story from Padre Pio. Gosh, he had people would line up for hours to go to confession to this man. He could read their souls. Wait to hear this story. I'll play one and I'll share one with you. Coming up, we'll talk much more about this. You can join me anytime. 888-914-9149. More straight ahead. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Some souls find it hard accepting God's mercy, not because it is unavailable, but rather because of the burden they feel from past sins, which delay their return to God.
There's a beautiful story about Padre Pio. After the war, three GIs were returning from Italy to America. But before they came home, they heard about this priest who was able to read hearts and who bore the wounds of Christ. And so they decided to go down to San Giovanni Rotondo. And one of the three was a skeptic. He didn't believe in this, but he went along for the ride. And as they arrived, Padre Pio had just finished celebrating Mass. And as he was coming out into the square, of course, thousands of people are out there and wanted to get a glimpse of him. But this unbelieving GI supposedly yelled out, "Show me your wounds." And the crowd hushed, wondering where this came from. And he yelled out again, "Show me your wounds." And Padre Pio walked to this GI and quietly said to him, "Show me yours." And he walked him into the church, into the confessional, and there this GI confessed his sin. As he tells his story, evidently he had inadvertently pulled away in the heat of battle. And because he did that, many of his buddies died. It was a wound that he bore on his heart and was not unable to confess it. And yet Padre Pio was able to see that wound and lead him to the confessional where that wound was healed. It's a beautiful story, and it's a true story. And I think when we come to confession and we are willing to admit our wounds, then God can heal them if we allow him to.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was an excerpt from a film. We'll talk about it coming up. Father John Clote has just produced a documentary called The Miracle Box. And it tells wonderful stories about the importance of confession. You know, today we live in a time where communion lines are long, right? But our confessional lines are empty. And it really is a tragedy because I think Satan loves this. That Padre Pio, so many great stories. I remember hearing a story one time from Padre Pio where he was hearing confessions. And a man came in to the confessional where he was. He was very tall, this guy, handsome, well-dressed. He had some refinement. He was very kind, very polite. And he started to confess his sins to Padre Pio, which were of every kind of sin. I mean, they were against God. They were against man. They were against morals. The sins were obnoxious. They were disoriented, right? They were really evil. In fact, for all the sins that he confessed, he kept responding to this man with God's word. This penitent would answer Padre Pio word for word, justifying his sins, always with extreme ability and politeness. Isn't that interesting? I mean, do you find yourself in the confessional justifying why you did what you did? That's what this man did. And he was very eloquent about it, very, very smart. And he excused all of his sins and all of his actions. He made him sound normal, made him sound natural, even, comprehensible, or understandable on a human level. And he continued this way, sins that were really quite aberrant, right? And it was always, he kept this up, even with the foulest of sins. So the answers he gave to Pio, Pio had shared the story later, were subtle. They surprised him. And he wondered, who is this? What world does he come from, right? So he tried to look at him in order to see his face. And at the same time, he concentrated on every word that the man spoke. And then suddenly, a very vivid, very radiant, very internal light was given to Padre Pio, and he clearly recognized who this man was. And with a sound, he said. He told him, repeat after me and say this. Say, long live Jesus, long live Mary. And as soon as I pronounced those sweet and powerful names, he said, Satan instantly appeared before him and disappeared in a trickle of fire, leaving behind, they say, an unbearable stench. I always thought that was so interesting. Don Pierino, he is the Pierino. He's a priest and one of Father Pio's spiritual sons. He was present at that time. There was one other story of a day Pio was in the confessional and he was hidden by these two curtains. And the curtains were not closed all the way. And Father Pierino could see Padre Pio, right? So the men, were prepared on all sides. People were lined up to go to confession. And he says, I just read in my breviary. And I looked up and I saw Padre Pio. And from the little church to the door comes a man, handsome, small, black grizzled hair, dark jacket. You know, he had the trousers. I didn't want him to distract me, so I kept reciting the breviary. And I heard an internal voice that said to me, stop and look. Stop and look. So I stopped and I looked at Padre Pio. That man, while taking footsteps back and forth without waiting his turn, stopped just in front of the confessional. And after that previous penitent went away, he immediately entered the curtain, standing up in front of Padre Pio. He says, then, Father Pierino is saying this, he says, then I didn't see him anymore. He said, I didn't see the dark-haired man. He says, what I saw there following this, he says, was not Padre Pio sitting there, but I saw Jesus. He was blonde, young, handsome. He gazed upon the man that had fallen on the floor, this man who came to confession. I rubbed my eyes and looked again, and there I saw Padre Pio coming from there. He returned to take a seat, and in his place, his appearance melted with Jesus' appearance. He says, I saw only Padre Pio. And then I said, hurry up, everyone, hurry up. He tried to get him in line for confession. But that story of Pio or Father Pierino and Padre Pio makes me think of what St. Faustina said, right? That when you go to confession, it's not the priest, it's not Padre Pio, it's actually Jesus that you are confessing your sins to. And it's in this tribunal of mercy that the greatest of miracles take place and are incessantly repeated. Not just the freedom from that sin, you know, because there is a hell, trust me. If we live in sin, we reject God, there's an eternity of suffering and separation from God, a place you do not want to be. But God has given us this incredible gift that is liberating and freeing, and will set us on the path to eternity and to our eternal home. I mean, why not take advantage of that? All right, so when we come back, let me take a few of your calls. Father John Clote is going to be joining us as well. And if you've got a question about confession, if you want to share your own story, I would love to hear from you. Our number here is 888-914-9149. There's a new documentary out called The Miracle Box. And I hope it goes like wildfire, because I really hope people begin to really understand the beauty and the treasure of this sacrament of mercy that God has given to us. One of the great deceptions of our day is that Satan doesn't exist and that sin does not have consequences. It does. It does. Satan is your enemy. He hates you. He wants your immortal soul. He wants that of your spouse. He wants that of your children. This is the liberating sacrament, and I love it. When we come back, we'll talk more, okay? Take a few calls. Father John Clote's going to be joining me. Let's talk confession this hour. All right. Love to hear your testimonies too. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.